Just because I love you, it don't mean I trust you. Everybody not to be trusted. Everybody around me thugging. Everybody around me drugging. Everybody around me hustling. Everybody know not to bring no new rigging around me that say I be bugging. Got racks in the go-yard luggage. Just because I love you, it don't mean I trust you. Everybody not
to- What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. It's another episode of Uncut with Q. I'm your host, Quentin Flores. And on the show, guys, we talk about so many different things. But I have a really great time interviewing people. And lately, we've been doing a lot of those. And so without further ado, man, if this is your first time listening to the show, all I ask is that you share this with a friend or you refer someone to this. Send this link to somebody if you get value from the episode, all right? Make sure you listen to it all the way through. With that being said, I got a special guest today. Go on and introduce yourself, my friend.
What up? What up? So I'm Ryan Felix, and we're about to kill this podcast today. So
let's go. That's it. I love it, man. I love it. Dude, Ryan, so I know that you're in the real estate industry. We've been in the same, like, flow of people for quite some time. Like,
yeah,
I've ran into you before I even knew Danielle, which is kind of cool. But yeah, it's just like been one of those things. We didn't really know each other, you know? Yeah. And so like from being in the real estate realm, dude, like what have you learned so far as far as like what do you feel is like super valuable?
Man, so first of all, going back to being in the same circle, I haven't run into you before I even met you and knew you and before Danielle, but so what I've kind of learned is since I got my real estate license, I'm licensed realtor and investor. People kind of get the wrong impression of wholesaling, and that's what I kind of been trying to bridge the gap with so far. And you know, the ethics and all that.
I've noticed that's a thing, man. I think online especially I get a lot of people that message me and ask me if they should get their license before they start wholesaling, or if they should just start wholesaling and get the license later. And I always tell them, I was like, dude, if there's one regret that I have, like really, like a big one, is that I didn't get my license, you know? And I think about so many different deals that where I left money on the table because I didn't have a license. But I heard there's like fiduciary relationships and all kinds of different pros and cons to having a license to doing wholesaling.
I don't think you need it, but it might be beneficial to have someone on your team or very close to you that has it, so that way you don't pass up on that money. And we've definitely been able to close more deals, me having my license, and learned more things and been able to do different strategies since I do have it, keep more money with the 6%, 3%.
Let's go back into time real quick, Ryan. What made you want to even get into real estate?
So I had a couple, you know, we used to trap back in the day, honestly, and I had a couple buddies that finally went and started getting legal money. And what they did was they started leasing apartments and they started hopping in the real estate game, and then eventually got their license, and I saw them making good money. Yeah. And, I was like, you know, I could do this. I was kind of book smart in school, but, you know, didn't use that to my potential. You know, didn't go to college, didn't do that thing. I always had an entrepreneurial mindset. And so I was doing construction, and I was like, I'm trying to be a boss. I quit that, and I went to get my license. So while I was in school, I started wholesaling by cold calling for sale by owner leads off of Zillow. And, you know, that was where I got my first deal.
Dang. What was the amount of money that you closed on the first one?
So what I did was I got a notepad. I went through all the for sale by owners in, I think, Bexar County and San Antonio. I made a list of like 100 addresses and people to call. And in the first week, I made 20 appointments. And out of those 20 appointments, I got 3 deals. So one of them I sold to a flipper that when I knew this agent at an EXP, and I made like $4,000.
Nice.
And then I made another one that was like 2,500, and then another one that was like $6,000, and I split it with another agent. So, dude, I mean, it wasn't amazing. Much, yeah, but I definitely dived in.
That's that mindset shift that happens, though, bro. Yeah. And like to me, bro, like my first deal, I made $2,100, and that felt like $1,000,000, dude.
Yeah,
$1,000,000, like that. That's what I needed to get going and to have the belief, you know what I'm saying? Because I think that at the beginning, the hardest part about getting into real estate, especially whether you're a wholesaler or a realtor, I know a lot of people that get into wholesaling and they make a lot of money and then they're just out the game, bro. Yeah. I've seen that happen more times.
People fall
Only
off.
The ones that have been tried and tested are the ones that are still here today that I know of. I can name them. Jerry Norton, that's number one. Carlos Reyes, number two, right? You got Pace Morby. You got Jamil Damji. All of these dudes have gone through the notions of the hot times where it was like, dude, shit's flying off the shelf. and the worst times, which was literally between the end of 2022 and literally almost all of 2023.
Yeah,
and facts. So like, man, seeing people, oh yeah, Max Maxwell is another one too. You know, like going through the notions of business is a fucking roller coaster, especially when you don't have a license.
Yep.
You know, and with the license, you're able to do both. Now, I heard that last year, because of interest rate spike, that a lot of traditional realtors went out of business because it was so hard to get people to buy houses.
Yeah, I heard it was like in the 60% range, bro. Like realtors fell off or didn't renew their license. But since we had the wholesale operation going,
yep,
we just kept afloat and we're doing you know, wholesaling and working with a bunch of investors. The investors don't stop buying. If anything, during that time, they were buying more.
Yeah. But I've noticed that. That's a crazy thing too, man. When people are feel fearful, be courageous, right? There's like it's something like that. Like I forgot, don't wait to buy real estate and then wait.
Yes.
That's the fucking quote I was looking for. God damn it. Man, no, and it's just like, it's crazy to think about, man. Like, cause last year I know a lot of wholesaling operations that shut their whole shit down. And went virtual because they realized how much they were spending on all the overhead. Mm-hmm. I was one of them. I literally went through that same shit. I operate everything out of one fucking building now, and it feels great. Yeah, damn great.
We had an office as well, and now we're completely virtual as well.
And it's the way to go, man. In my opinion, anyway. With where you're at right now in the business, man, what has been the benefit of having the license during the time frames of which you're doing wholesale deals?
I would say, obviously, I still do traditional. I still have my clients. I still, you know, buy and sell for you know, families and people moving here into San Antonio and stuff. But as far as wholesaling, a big strategy that has become popular is the novations.
I've seen that.
So we've been able to do a few, and not that many people know about it. Not that many wholesalers utilize it.
Ones that don't know about it, explain what a novation is real quick.
So a novation is basically, you know, you have the original wholesale contract, the purchase agreement, which is an A and B contract.
Yeah.
And then you can put in place a BC contract, which gives the wholesaler the right to go ahead and list it and sell it to a broader buyer pool, such as a buyer with a loan.
Mm.
It's different than just having the pre-marketing sales agreement in the contract, and it's different than just having, you know, those attorney and facts in your agreement. It's actually deeper than that, because those ones, you're just looking for a cash buyer on the MLS.
Yeah.
These ones, you can actually accept a loan offer.
Mm. Crazy. So essentially you're taking a wholesale deal and then selling it in the open market. And how do you get around the idea of them selling it to the traditional like lender? I thought banks don't do this.
So what you do is you place a so once you get them to sign the novation and attorney in fact, you have to place a notice of lien on the property so that when the loan pays out on the property, you're not getting an assignment fee. You're basically getting paid out on a lien. So then you have to have a release of lien.
I see. So the
it's a notice of interest. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I got you. So that notice is essentially like an invoice that you're going to get at time of close for this property.
Correct. And that can be
it's not
whatever your assignment fee would be, but it's not an assignment. It's a lien getting paid out.
It's the lien getting paid out. That's insane, bro. I love that. You know, I've only done like two novations before, but my team did them.
Yeah.
And as much as I thought novation was a cool strategy, I noticed that it took a lot of time too.
Yeah.
Probably equivalent to the same amount of time that it would take to close a regular wholesale property with bad title issues.
Okay.
Like, you know, a bad title issue property could take like 3 or 4 months to close. You know, I've never had a novation take anything less than that. Now, if you've had, then that means you're probably way more experienced than me. But it's cool to think about that, man. The exit strategies are important, especially in wholesale.
Yeah, I would say average 30 to 45 days, maybe 60, depending on the lender or the agent and the broker. A lot of brokers would give us a hard time and be like, no, we don't do this. This is still a wholesale deal, basically.
I've seen that.
And it's like, okay, well, you just need to get educated in what we're doing. And some of them are open to it. Some of them are not.
I've seen it, dude. It's crazy to think like where the fucking real estate game is right now, because it's in such like a limbo place. And I think it has a lot to do with the presidential election around the corner.
We'll see. It definitely has to do. That's going to make the market go crazy.
Whenever you approach a seller and they ask you if you're licensed, if you're trying to buy the property and do it as a flip, or if you're trying to wholesale it by law, like, do you know? And I know you're not an attorney, but like, do you have to disclose that you have the license?
I don't know if, you know, if we're, I'm saying it right when I approach them, but if we're talking contracts and we're doing paperwork, I disclose it every time.
I see. And what happens if you don't? What could happen?
I mean, formal complaints, you probably can lose your license, yeah.
I see. And for the license, there's like fees and whatnot?
Yeah, so there's yearly dues depending on what you're a part of. I'm, you know, obviously here in San Antonio, but we do a lot of greater cities in Texas, like Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, Corpus Christi, South Texas, Austin, Central Texas, and San Antonio. So then you pay for those MLSs as well.
Dang, that's hefty though. It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, but if you market yourself and you reach out to other agents and wholesalers, then you can get deals in other cities and that pays for itself.
I've seen that too, man. You know, one of the things I've realized, like, and I've always wanted to ask this question, would you rather have a wholesaling operation or would you rather have a brokerage?
Bro, it's crazy because we tried to combine the two and it's, you have to be careful because it's hard. It's difficult to mesh the two. I would probably rather have a wholesale operation, bro. I feel mm-hmm. like it could be just as much responsibility and liability, but as far as, you know, brokerages, all your agents would have the fiduciary duty and you can get sued for any little thing. Whereas wholesaling, as long as you know, dot your T's and cross your I's, then, you know, you should be good. If you do the deal the right way, you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah. I feel like whenever I, like, there's a local company here in town that did both. And I love them to death. You know, it's my good friends, Mike and Charles, Home Buy and Home Selling. And they did pretty damn good for the time frame. Because I know that recently they just announced that they're no longer partners. They're both great friends of mine, you know.
Yeah, bless them both.
And yeah, God bless both of them, bro. I would not be where I'm at with my knowledge had Mike and Charles not stepped into my life. And we've always piggybacked on each other, especially for real estate events or things we had going on.
They've done a lot for the city too.
They've spoken at my events. I've spoken at their events. We've sponsored each other's events. Like, I was a grand sponsor for the first wholesaling live event.
Really?
I was a grand sponsor for it. I paid $20,000 and with my virtual staffing company, Virtual Squad, we were able to market ourselves.
I didn't get to go to that one.
Oh man, it was amazing.
I think anyway.
Just the idea was amazing. The idea of closing properties in one room with a whole bunch of people. It's a giant boiler room, you know? So it was super cool, yeah. Dude. Like, during that time frame, I got a chance to just hang out and like be present. I was one of the coaches, so I was running around giving people advice on how to cold call. I was stopping what I was doing. I was helping people make offers. Like, I'm not going to lie. I mean, obviously, because they're providing the leads, whatever they get is 50-50 with the crew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But who does that, man? It's such a cool event, yeah. Right?
Sick-ass concept.
It was. And, you know, I noticed that in their operation for years, they did both brokerage and they did both wholesale.
Yeah.
But they had a wholesale section of the brokerage that was in one area, and then they had just the straight up brokerage in another area. And I don't know if the two can coexist, but I know that there's another local company here in town that focuses on just disposition, and they're called Net Worth Realty. There's Net Worth in the New Western.
Yeah.
You know, and those are brokerages.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, you have your own broker that you work with, right?
Yeah.
Is your goal to become a broker? Like, even though you know everything that you know about real estate investing at one point,
it's like, I definitely have thought about it. I had the chance to do it already, but I ended up doing it under my last broker and we white labeled it and had agents under me. But it's very difficult because if you're mixing it with the wholesale, you know how it is. You're crossing a gray area. There's a fine line you have to tiptoe, and it was just not worth it for me. I know Mike and Charles did it for so long. You know,
they did it, but they kept them separate, which was very insane. But I mean, you know, their operation was a decade long.
Yeah.
It's a long time to be in business.
So, I mean, maybe in the future I would, but I think I would gear it towards like commercial after learning how to master that and then obviously keep the wholesaling separate.
For sure. And I think that with the wholesaling, that's like a skill set you just never forget.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. And I don't know if it's the same thing when you're a licensed realtor, because I know that the differences between the two is really a paperwork and licenses, yeah. You know?
What's crazy is, you know, when I did start wholesaling, I was in school to get my license at the time.
I see.
That's when I started, you know, calling those FSBOs off Zillow. And then eventually I got those deals and then I took my test and then I got my license.
What's a common misconception that you get a lot from people that are like, oh, wholesaling with a license? Like, a lot of people just say
they think that you're not supposed to do it or that you're not allowed to do it. And, you know, as long as you disclose what you're doing or what your plan is, or what, you know, disclosing that you're an agent on the contract, and you separate, okay, this is not a client. I'm an investor. Yeah. I'm a licensed investor on this deal. Then those are the common misconceptions.
I see. I've noticed that very heavily too, that people just automatically assume that because I'm licensed, I can't wholesale.
Yeah.
And it trips me out when I hear that, because I know that you can. This is my perception of it, and correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm going to put my name on a purchase agreement, not my name, but my LLC.
Yeah.
If I'm going to put my LLC on the purchase agreement, technically, in the eyes of the state, I am operating as a managing member of an LLC. So when I sign the dotted line on the purchase agreement, right, it'll say Q's LLC, and then straight to the bottom, it'll have my signature. But as I sign, there's a little area there that says managing member of the LLC. If I'm signing as a managing member on behalf of an LLC, is that not enough for me to not have to disclose that I'm a licensed realtor? Because I'm not, because why would an LLC can't have a real estate license? It's an entity.
No. So if you're using a realtor in the transaction.
Period?
No, I was going to say, so if you're using your purchase agreement and you're not a realtor, then in your case, you know, you're safe. But if you use a TREC 1-4 or something like that, I'll put in that blank that you're talking about. I'll put one or more members of said one LLC. Or more managing members of LLC is a licensed real estate agent.
That is something new. Wow. So no matter what, on all of these contracts that you guys sign for your business, you disclose every time.
Yes.
Have you gotten backlash from that? And if so, how'd you overcome it?
I've never gotten backlash for it.
See, that's what I'm saying, man. People be creating like this, like syndrome, like this, like they overthink this.
You know very why? Small it thing. All starts in the beginning. Mm. If you're shady or you're not transparent from the beginning, they're always going to be looking for something that you're doing wrong or fishy. We're transparent from the beginning. So from the get-go, we already earn these people's trust. And why would they try to find something wrong with somebody who's going to find me a solution?
Mm. That's real. I think that when you start doing the business and you just start gaining traction, you start gaining volume, start walking with more confidence, gradually people just really don't care because they can see that you're about the business. At the end of the day, it's just paperwork, you know? And so just doing the paperwork and then disclosing to your realtor, I think because I just see the way that you carry yourself. You know, we went to go see a property together, me, you, my cousin.
Yeah.
It was super dope, right?
That was
and we
awesome.
All, yeah, you know, it was just really cool being in that element with all of you. You guys were the ones that were building rapport. Actually, Danny was the one that was building rapport. My cousin's watching this podcast. He's on the other side of the camera. I know you guys can't see her. But, you know, just essentially like going in and looking at the negotiation aspect. We were all just there. It's not like homeboy was asking if any of us were licensed. I don't even think he even cared when we sent them the purchase agreement, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't care.
And so I think that there's that confidence that's there, in my opinion anyway.
Yeah, no, that's facts. I mean, if you got to deliver with confidence, for sure.
What's the goal though, like for you guys, like and what you're trying to build for your team? Let's say 5 years from now, like what does that look like? Because by then you'll be eligible to become a broker,
yeah,
right?
I think like in another half a year, I'm eligible.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. So that's like right up the rip, right?
Yeah.
What's the goal in 5 years though?
I mean, I don't know if the goal is soon to become a broker or not. We definitely want to build this wholesale operation and scale it. Eventually have our own portfolio, do multifamily and commercial, and see if we can make this wholesale like passive, you know?
I can see that too. Yeah. I mean, honestly, wholesale is great money, but I have noticed that it is very transactional.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
We saw
going into the multifamily and all of that definitely is probably the key thing. Like for me, what I always wanted to focus on at the beginning was different ways that I could bring consistent income in so I could have passive to operate a wholesale operation. Because the wholesale operation, you're going to spend way less keeping a wholesale operation alive than you would be paying out assignment fees to wholesalers.
Yeah.
Like that's a given. I used to have this buyer, Ryan, back in the day, man. He died of stomach cancer last year. I didn't even know that he was dying.
Damn.
But when I met him, he had actually just got diagnosed with like stage 4 stomach cancer. And so like, I remember he and I would go out to eat all the fucking time. His name was Aaron Pfeiffer. His dad, Carl Pfeiffer, opened up the first title company that ever existed in Texas. And it was right here in Bexar County, San Antonio. And it was called First American Title. up until then, all these operations here didn't operate under the escrow officer umbrella. It was an attorney that closed you your deal and an attorney that provided you with title insurance. That's how that worked.
Yeah.
And so my grandpa, when he got out of Vietnam, he fought in the war. He used to work downtown at the courthouse. He used to smoke weed to deal with the PTSD. Well, he got caught smoking weed behind the courthouse. Obviously, it's a dumb thing to smoke weed in the center of the police, right? Downtown wasn't anywhere near what it looked like right now, man. And my grandpa is my step-grandpa, but I always call him my grandpa because I never got a chance to hang out with my actual one. And so, like, going through the notions of getting to know him told me, because I remember it was, like, New Year's 2018. He was, like, asked me what I had been up to, and I told him I got this really cool guy here in town. His name's Aaron Pfeiffer, man, and he just, you know, blowing my mind. He's been buying everything I got, literally buying everything I got. And Carl, I remember he told me, he was like, dude, Pfeiffer, that last name's familiar. I text him and ask him by any chance he's related to a gentleman named Carl. I asked Aaron, he said, yo, Carl's my grandpa. I was like, what? Damn. This is like two generations
later. So they run First American Title.
Yeah, they opened up First American Title, and my grandpa did work in for, because they put him on probation because he's a Vietnam veteran and all the shit happened with Reagan when they kicked him out of office. He promised vets from Vietnam so much and didn't deliver is what happened. And so you have all these people that represent Vietnam, not just because of the war that was fought and the lives that were lost, because a lot of them were, but it was such a pointless war for Americans to be a part of.
It wasn't our fight.
We didn't have to be there for anything else, but we wanted cheap gas, and that's what that was for, right? And so, you know, my grandpa was a victim to that. And so, like, they saw that and they gave him a plea deal where he would have to work. Carl was an attorney and an escrow officer. And so Carl told my grandpa, you work in my office, judge, sign off on this. He'll work for me for free and he'll do all of our paperwork. He helped my grandpa inherit the 150 acre ranch that we have in Corpus. I went and bought 150 acres additionally next to the ranch so that it's in the easement. So we have 300 acres in total yet. And it's all, it's in an easement. So we have to travel through somebody else's ranch to get there. We'll go very soon. I'll take you out there.
I was about to say, is it hunting?
You'll love it. Yes, it's hunting. Big ass buck, big ass deer. There's some elk out there. There's also pigs, plenty of pigs year round. Boars. We could take my ARs out there and clear them out and just leave them there. We don't even have to clean them up. Like, legit. I'm not going to lie. I mean, they become one. I'm fucking circle of life, bro. They're all just a bunch of fucking asshole pumas just fucking everything up, you know? So Aaron knew Carl because Carl was his grandpa and he heard of my grandpa. Full fucking circle, dude.
That's insane.
And I'm selling every deal I got to this dude. All of 2017, I made over $1 million wholesaling real estate to one man. I used to go into his office, bro, and he wouldn't even care for title insurance. He said, just bring me the contract and I'll cut you a check. How much you want for this one? 20 grand? We'll keep it at 20 for each one. Bro, this was a house that I was getting like $2,500 assignment fee offers on, bro. Just a little above. And he would just give me 20 for each one. I didn't know why, but he was trying to buy a bunch of real estate because he saw this happening, dude.
Yeah.
He was just going to buy it all because it doesn't matter what you bought it for back then. When you really put it into perspective, bro, when I bought my primary residence, it was 278 grand. It's worth 568 now, dude.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What the fuck? That's half of it. So anything he paid 20K for over asking price is worth like double what he bought it for. And that was barely like 6-7 years ago, dude. That's insane how much the market can churn in such a small time frame. But the reason why I'm saying this is because Aaron, in that year, paid me at least $600,000 in assignment fees. What can you do right now, you watching this, with 600 grand, bro? You could open up an office. You can hire a C-suite exec. You can have a full-blown team, a COO, a CEO, a CFO, every fucking type of OO that you can think of. You can have, bro, like on payroll.
Run your corporation.
A whole thing, right? And it's just like, it blew my mind. I remember when I did my taxes, Aaron had signed like my 1099 form. It was like a W-2 or a W-9. He wanted me to fill out a W-9 because he paid me out so much money. And yeah, man, I was just like, wow, you know, because I got the tax report and it was my first time facing like a six-figure tax bill. It was scary, man. But, you know, I was young in the game too. Yeah, I was 27, 28 years old. I mean, it's beautiful, man. I'll never regret that time frame. But what I'm saying is that these assignment fees, the benefit of learning the business is so that you don't have to pay out those fees to anyone else. Because once you own the operation, $600,000 can keep a wholesaling operation afloat without making zero money for at least 5 years, bro.
Yep.
That's like $5,000 in marketing every month. That's like paying for the office space.
Yeah, but at that point, you can spend more than that.
Yep, you can. You know, and I'm very grateful for the time I spent with Aaron. God rest his soul. He died of cancer last year, literally around this time. And when I got the phone call from his partner, I was just so blown away, man. You know, one of the lessons that I taught, that Aaron taught me before he passed away, was to never keep my eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Remember, he told me diversify, man, because this is one thing that I do. I have an 18-wheeler company over here, moving company over here, contractor company over here, tile company over here. And he was like my first real mentor.
Mentor.
Yeah. Like I had
a lot of money together.
We did. And I'll never forget the time that I spent with him, man. I mean, I even shared him with other people. Like most people, they keep their buyers in their pocket.
Yeah.
I never saw that, you know, and I gave them to my boy Aaron. I gave them to my friend Rosa at the time. I gave them to every relevant person that I thought could benefit from him. And man, I mean, he helped so many people, bro. So many people. Yeah. So like, God rest
while building a strong portfolio that he probably passed down to his family.
He did. Yep. It's a massive portfolio. And his partner, Augustine, God, man, if you're listening to this, Augustine, I really appreciate you for everything too, because you were there for me too. And so it's just crazy to think about it, man. As far as like the real estate business, bro, what do you see yourself accomplishing for this year, moving into 2024 with everything that you've been able to do?
We're trying to, our plan is to do 7 figures this year.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. What are you guys implementing to get there? I mean, it could be habits, it could be structure, it could be something. Definitely, I know you guys got a big event coming up.
Yeah, we do got a big event, but we're definitely implementing everything we learn. We're not just taking information and letting it just sit there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we've gained a lot of mentors this past year as well, friends as well that you know are doing already what we want to do, and you got to take what you learn and go ahead and use that. But yeah, we definitely want to do 7 figures this year.
I see it happening.
The event is April 9th here in San Antonio, and we'll put the details in the
comments. Section, yep. Link section below.
So man, Everyone watching, pull up.
I appreciate it, Ryan. This has been such a great podcast, yeah, man. And thank you for shedding light on a very, in my opinion, controversial topic.
Yeah.
Especially with the license stuff, bro. Yeah. It's super dope, dude.
It's big. I mean, I want to bridge the gap because a lot of people are missing out on money because they're not educated in, oh, I don't want to work with wholesalers because why? Or I don't want to work with realtors because, you know, mm-hmm, they don't like me. Well why?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So we're definitely doing that. It's going to be a good year.
I see it, man. I see it.
Thank you for having me.
For sure. I'll see you guys on the next one. Let's get it. I want the check.